Begin the current daf Masechtas Erev and Daf Zayin. Begin on an Aleph. Begin on Tes de Masas. Begins words of the Gemara. Regarding Shedra beGulgulis, for example, regarding that of the spine and of the skull, which Tosfos comes to qualify certain halachas as they relate to the laws of Charfis as they relate to the skull, because the Gemara had brought you can't be stringent like two different opinions, and specifically the Gemara pointed out when they're contradictory. When are they contradictory? Regarding the laws of Shedra beGulgulis, because in regards to Tumas Oil. Then you have Beshame being more machmer. In regards to the laws of Tarfus, Beshel is being more machmer if the invalidation is regarding one vertebrae or two vertebrae in the spine. Now, from the wording of the Gemara that says you cannot do like two stringency when they contradict each other, and the wording of the Gemara was, as our Tesla muscle brings good in Shijib Gogailis, for example, by the spine and the skull. So, says Tesla Mashmer, it sounds like the Vechain, Latrefa, that it says that, oh, and the same thing is Latrefa. That's going on both the spine and on the skull, that we have the machlekes b'sham b'sil, how much will be missing from the animal that it's going to be a treifa, and that also is contradictory. That's a tesis from Tam, if you're going to say, then my karmi b'sil, what's b'sil saying that the lacking of the measurement of the skull is? Kadeshi notl menachai b'yamas is the amount that you'll take from the living person and it's going to die. And again, it's not just talking about regarding Tumas oil. The Gemara is comparing it also to the laws of Tarfis. But what do you mean? Lebishami nami mais b'shuri didu. According to Bishami, also the amount would be, when he says the amount of drilling a hole in the skull, is also that it's going to die with that measurement. In other words, since it's about dying, being a treifa, so then that's the same thing as what Beisola says, which is the amount that it cannot survive. So what is Beisola saying? The amount that it's going to die, according to Bishami, the drilling in the hole that's in the skull also cannot survive. So, and if it really means less than that, then Bishami should have said it. The wording here is not indicative of a machlekes. Boy, Morva says, Taisa is my kamashal under Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda really teaching? The Amma that he says, V'chein l'treifa, l'inigul goyles. When he says, oh, and the same machlekes would be regarding Tarfis, in regards to that of the skull, so regarding the spine, so that the Gemara points out. But regarding the skull, but keeping the ma'yizba, since the animal dies, once it's missing that amount, so it cannot survive. So obviously it's going to be a treifa. What would be the chiddush for you to say that v'chein l'treifa? And that says, to be saying, what you could say is, the regilus ulamos, alidei netila, bechassar and mu'it, it's normal to die by something that you're taking away, even though that's a little bit deficiency, more than what happens through decomposition and through illness. In other words, if what's lacking is made because the animal is sick or some type of decomposing of the skull, so then it could live until you have the size of a drilling in the hole of a drill. But if you took away from the skull even less than that, it wouldn't survive. So in Beshame say that even if you take from it, it's not going to be treifa if it's less than the whole of a drill. That's what Beshame is disagreeing and saying, no, the amount that you would take, that the deek is on those words, from the animal that would die, that's Beshame, yeah, disagreeing that would already make it a treifa. Now Tez continues on this theme. He says, Vim Tami, begin to say like this. Ve'ilu treifa, zigmar chulnaf, membez de parach, the Gemara asks over there. You're talking about the 18 types of treifas in the animal. There are other types, which these are acronyms for different types of treifas, basgar, and then the shavashmaitza. There's seven amorek teachings also that are things that are going to be considered as tarfas. Now, basamach in basgar have a chasarin b'shedra. That the samach refers to the word chasarin in the shedra, in the spine. Now says Taisus, so why doesn't the Gemara there ask also regarding the tarfas of the skull, which also treifa, as our Gemara is bringing, for the v'chinle in the tarfas applies not only to the spine but also to the skull. And that's the Taisus, what you could say is the chasaron gugulis to treifa, the lacking of the skull that makes the animal to treifa. Hainu, what's the reason? Why does it make it into a treifa? From the seif hakreim shel moich lipas, because the end of it is going to be that the membrane that encases the brain will end up becoming undone. Oh, okay. So that's already including the Mishnah over there regarding the 18 different trephas, which is a hole in the membrane that covers the brain. So therefore, that was already included. So you didn't have to say that, because that's the whole point of the hole in the skull. But when the vertebrae of the spine breaks, that's not because ultimately the end that's going to be that the spinal cord is going to break. Because as Taisa says, the filamata mifrashes, even after where the spinal cord splits into the two thighs, to the sciatica, the leka tarfas, where there's no tarfas if that part of the cord tears, still irie, still we're talking about that that's going to be a problem with missing from the spine. And even that's going to be treva. If that's what the Gemara is asking, then why doesn't it say that? And that we said, that's basgar, that should have been mentioned. Now, Taisa has a difficulty on their interpretation there. The problem with the skull is because of, as he answered, because of the membrane can end up having a hole. Because Taisa says, to me, however, come to the other, we find many people, they're actually missing a lot of the bone of their skull. And their membrane is not punctured and they do survive. So what you have to say is, what we mean to say is when it's missing from the skull, it means together with the upper membrane. And in such a situation, yeah, then the lower membrane is going to end up being punctured, and therefore it's going to be a problem about trefa. But you're right, when it's just lacking the skull without the upper membrane, then you're right, it's not going to be a problem about tarfus. And Tosafot clarifies, and he says, v'avgav de'ikel mandama, although that there is an opinion that holds an animal in such a situation, that if it has a puncture in the upper membrane, it's a trefa, even if it's not missing anything from the bone of the skull. Says Taisus, that's because the animal, the membrane of its brain, is very thin. So if it has a hole in the upper membrane, the sefer tachon lepasik there, yes, it's automatically going to have a puncture in the lower membrane, which can make a trefa. Aval, but otherwise by a person, even though it has a hole in the upper membrane, ain't sefer. It's not necessarily the end of that. The lower membrane is going to be lepasik. That's going to be punctured. Official kash of a chazik, but other means remember because the upper membrane is stronger and harder by a person than by an animal. Well, a kach tzarches on etzem. Therefore, you also have to be missing from the bone of the skull, and only then is it going to be a problem by trefa. But if it's only missing the kremelion and not the etzem agogelus, then it could survive. Now, but says Tosaf Lamandam, according to the opinion that holds, then an animal does not become a trefa. At the inkiv tato until the lower membrane gets punctured, the meimashavim animal and the human are the same. The beim adam beim hema then both by an animal and by a person ki nifsek haetzim imakarei when the bone of the skull and the membrane get punctured. So if we're talking the pasuk, then the lower membrane is going to end up being punctured. But if it's only the upper one without the bone, it's not going to be a treva. Tinek says the master begins words of the gemara v'nogu boy. Bezi Surman, and Rabbi Kiva went, and when he harvested the esrog tree in the first Ashvat, he did two maisers, one like Beishamo, one like Beishil, where he did maiser Cheney and maiser Anu. So he's going to explain how did he do this. Taisus explains, Mefarish Beishamo, Shammai actually explains, because it might be one on the other, and they each have different halachas. So Shammai explains, she Yisrael tonight. What he did was, he took one maiser, and with a stipulation. And he says, if it's maiser Cheney, let it be maiser Cheney. And it's Maisa and Lebi Maisa Ani. And what did he do is Vachilla, he went now, he deconsecrated those monies, because maybe they're Maisa Shani. And so they have to be taken up to Yerushalayim. He deconsecrated Nusl Anim, and he gave it now these produce to the Anim, because maybe it's Maisa Ani. And then the money he took up to have and eat in Yerushalayim. So that way, he was able to have both Maisras in this one state, because it might be Maisa Shani, it might be Maisa Ani, and he accomplished both by the way the Yerushalayim brings it. Next is the master that begins words the Gemara, Bika Mekan, the Bika Mekan. If there's a valley, if there's a field on either side, Miboya, do we need to tell you? Which I just explain what the Gemara's question is, because the Gemara was saying, when did we say the Machalek is in the previous stop that was regarding if there's Rosh Hashanah on either side? But if, let's say, there's a field on one side and the Rosh Hashanah on the other side, and if there's a field on either side, so then you don't need to have the way Hananya says to have the Adelis. It's not for Tzuras HaPesach. So the Gemara asks, as the Tzitzit Masal brings, well, of course, if either side is a, if one side is a Rosh Hashanah, one side is a field, you're saying you don't need for sure if both sides are a field. So Tzitzit explains, and Tzitzit is forewarning a question. What's bothering Tzitzit is really, wait a second, maybe the Chiddush is the other way. That when, even though this field's on either side, that you need to have a Tzitzit HaPesach, not that it's sufficient with that, you don't need a door. And that's the situation. I mean, it doesn't sound like that's coming to tell us that even so, even though on both sides of the field, and it's not even Rosh Hashanah on either one of the sides, that but that you would require a Tzuras HaPesach, doesn't sound like that. It sounds like that's sufficient with Tzuras HaPesach. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, wait, that's sufficient. Sufficient is sufficient even if one side is Rosh Hashanah, one side is a Bika, it's going to be enough. For sure, when both sides are a Bika, and therefore, that's the Gemara's question. Next is about to begin towards the Gemara. If the mavi ended into the backyard, that's where it ended. In the tzarch b'chul, then you don't have to do anything where it joins, where it meets the end of the Mavi, where it meets that Rechav. Taisa explains, what is this teaching coming to tell us? Taisa brings Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains, what's this case talking about? The Nefritza Rechava Kenayda Ar. It's talking about where, not just that the Mavi ended into this backyard, but actually the Mavi, it's the backyard itself, if you keep on walking from the Mavi through the backyard, it's actually breached its back wall into the Rishas Rabban. And Rashi proves this, says Dimlo Kim, because if that wasn't the case, Ma'ishminan, then what is the chiddush of this halacha that the Mavi doesn't have to be done anything with it? Obviously, because as Taisa explains, Dilash Me'inon, to tell us the Ein Rechava Yisrael Salam Mavi, that the, and this is what Rashi says, that the backyard is not going to make a problem because it's breached to the Mavi, Lo Yitzrach, that you wouldn't have to say chiddush, because the Rechava less be the urine. The backyard, no one dwells over there. Can we break base like the Gemara says in the second part of Chavdalma Beis? By this backyard, which was by Pumnahara, that Mandashari, the one that says permitted, why is it permitted? It's breached into the backyard. But the urine in Talmudic times, no one ever used their backyards. There was no one dwellers over there to make as if they're walking through the Mavi to say that, oh, you didn't have an Arab over there combining the people. There is no one there in that backyard. And says Rashi, Ravina Lakula. Now, look, is like that opinion of Ravina, which is lenient, and therefore that wouldn't be a problem. Must be the problem that we're coming to tell you the chiddush is that the back of the Rechava itself is open to Rosh Hashanah. And even so, we're saying that that's not a problem, and it's not going to be considered as mefulish, and therefore it's like a Mavi Sassim, and you don't have to do anything by the end of the Mavi, only by the front, which opens up into Rosh Hashanah of Alechi Orkar. Now, Hagah, a comment says that Afilamanda Asr, that even the opinion holds that actually it is forbidden, that the Rechava in that story would make the city forbidden. Ikal Mem, still you could say says Taisus. The Ayurba Rechava, we're talking about a backyard. Shekol Echad Hoyechelke Mavur Babur Rechava. That's because each person, every homeowner had a right in that backyard, and each one had his own portion where he knew belonged to him. Then you could be concerned. That maybe every single person is going to come into his portion, where he's going to do something in his backyard, and maybe there is going to be dwellers over there, and they're going to make it forbidden one or the other, and they're going to make a problem with the city, which opened up to the Rechava. But when each person does not have a distinct deer in the Rechava, then that does not make the city forbidden, because there's no diurn over there, and therefore that's going to be the same thing for the Mavi that ends by the Rechava. If it wouldn't be breached, the back of the backyard to the Rosh Hashanah behind it, we wouldn't have to tell you, even according to that mandamar, that Rechava does not make the Mavi forbidden. Now, Boyd, moreover, says Taisus, that the wording of the Ein Tzarach Klum, Mashma, what does it sound like? The Koya Isur Pilush, the Ayurbe. Sounds like it's going on the problem of being open on both sides to Rosh Hashanah, because the whole Sugi is talking about by Mavi HaMafu Rosh Hashanah, that you have to have a Tzurus HaPesach. And that the Gemara is saying that if the Mavi ended in the Rechava, it's not like a Mavi Mefulish. And that's what sounds like in Tzurus Klum, that's how, like as Rashi explained, that the Chiddush is on the Mefulish part. Now, Lakach Nira, therefore it seems, the Benifrit Tzakenegiari, so that's what Rashi was explaining, that it's talking about that just doesn't, not just that it ends into the backyard, that the backyard itself is breached from behind the Tzurus HaSarab. Now, but then the question, as Rashi says, then why did we pick specifically in the Salacha of Rabbi Yehuda a backyard and not a courtyard? That's only because we wanted to tell you that it doesn't need anything, meaning afil lo irvu. Even though the people with the Mavi did not make an irv together with the people on the backyard, because by the backyard there's no dwellers and they're not going to make it forbidden, that's why we picked the backyard, because avil chatzar, this be urine, because to the contrary, by a courtyard, which is the front yard, which does have dwellers, because in Talmudic times that's the area that they use, that actually would be asa chiyarva, that would be forbidden until they make an erev. Why? Because the Stav Reb Yehuda holds that this that we're using a lechi or an opening that's near mibachutz, if it's visible from the outside to the mavi, v'shav mibifnim, but it's equal on the inside, that people inside the mavi don't see it, that's not qualified as a side post and an entryway. And since someone who's standing in the mavi does not see the opening to the chatzar, because it's totally flush, it's totally breached into the chatzar, so although the chatzar itself actually is wider on either side of the mavi, but someone that's standing in the chatzar, he sees that it's opening to the mavi. But the people in the mavi don't, so it's not qualified as a mavi. And if the people in the mavi did not make an eruv with the people in the chatzar, it would be forbidden to carry in the mavi. Therefore, we picked Rechava to say that even though there's no eruv. Now, Taisa explained that the reason why the mavi is not a problem about mefulish l'shus ram, if you're saying the back wall of the Rechava is open, is because of Bukala Le'emtzer Rechava Ayir. We're talking about where the Mavai ends in the middle of the backyard. And V'lo Chashav Le'ikim Mefulish. Therefore, it's not considered as if it's like totally flush to the Rosh Hashanah behind it. Why? Because when you come out of the Mavai into the backyard, Yesh Mokum Lintas Lakan Lakan. There's room to go to the right, to the left. And therefore, V'lo Yosel Le'mishim Mefulish. And therefore, it's not going to come to be mid when it's totally open, literally, Mavai from end to end, open to Rosh Hashanah on either side, because it doesn't look just like going straight from the Mavai into Rosh Hashanah. Because you realize you're going into the backyard, because it extends on either side, and therefore, that's why we're saying that it's not a problem about Mefulish, and because Rechava does not have the urine, there is not a problem about being breached to an area that's forbidden to it.